All right, let's go. All right. It's Don Cherry's broadcast. Who's that guy that says that all the time? There was an actor that says that all the time.
That was
McConaughey.
But he stole that from Jim Morrison, though.
Oh, he stole it from Jim Morrison.
Morrison did that. Yeah, there's a whole story on how McConaughey got his first acting job on that one movie. I forget what, Dazed and Confused. And his first line is "All right, all right, all right." And he took that from Jim Morrison, who was.
I read the book on Jim Morrison. The book I wanted to read on him, Nobody Gets Out of This World Alive. And he didn't. No. Boy, he was just...
He was the guy that... Getting off topic, but he was the one guy that reminded you of... That you played with, who was your roommate that reminded you of Jim Morrison, was Jimmy McKinney.
He's just as good looking.
Oh, he was better looking. Jimmy McKinney was better looking when he was young. Well, he's good looking now, but you should have seen him when he was young. Holy, he hit the long.
We're getting off attention here, but when he was in junior, they said he was as good as Bobby Orr.
He said, yeah, I could carry this hockey stick. And it was like he was on self-destruction. Like, I used to room with him all the time. I was the only guy that would room. Crozier used to put me with him all the time.
But you were always like that. They always roomed you with the up and coming rookie. A couple times they did that.
They did that.
Bull Durham. You were like Crash Davis in Bull Durham.
I don't know what I was, but I'm
straighten them out.
I remember with Jimmy, and I'll tell you, boy, I could tell you a few stories. But and right now, Jimmy doesn't touch a drop, and. In fact, I think he works with people that acted like him.
Yeah, well, we'll talk. We should talk. Give some stories about Jim McKinney sometime.
It'd be my last show.
Yeah, we're going. But Dad, we talked a little while ago. We were about the Women's World Championship. We said the Canadians beat the Americans 5-2, but we wondered if the Americans were playing.
Remember, I told you, Tim. Yeah. I said I think they're playing rope-a-dope. They do it every year. Every year they lose 5-1 or 5-2. And then they come on and they play like gangbusters in the final game. And they did it and they did it again this year.
Yeah. They got up 2-0 pretty quick. And then Canada came storming back.
It was really something. That Jason LaRocque is really something. What she played, 30 minutes. She had 2 points and plus two. Nobody ever mentions her.
No, they didn't talk about it. It always seems now, like even in women's hockey, you have to have that big, I guess, I don't know if you say it in a female hockey, but you have to have that big stud defenseman. You know, like you have to have the person that can play 30 minutes, like Hedberg and Pietrangelo and those guys. And
you never, nobody mentions her. You know what, Tim? I'm not knocking Kevin Dineen. You know what I think of the Dineen family? I played against his dad, Bill, and I think the defense. So I'm not knocking him when they won the. I still think if you're going to have women's hockey. Now I was involved in women's hockey before it was fashionable, and nobody ever knew. Nobody ever knew about women's hockey. And I was on Hockey Night in Canada, and what are you talking about women's hockey? And it all stems from Hazel McCallion. I'll never forget. I get a call. I come from Colorado. So anyhow, she said, I like you at rink tomorrow. And I said, well, it's Saturday. I don't do anything on day of the game. And she said, you hear what I said? I want you there right away. So I thought I better get off on the wrong foot again. I just been fired. So I go up and I saw that the girls, the young girls, loved hockey as much as the guys. And I paid for my own way to Ottawa. And
so this would have been like in the 80s.
Oh, this was early. Well, I'll tell you what it was. It was 82. And then I was really an advocate of women's hockey. But I still think, and I'll say it to my, and I believe it, that it should be all girls. It should be coaches. I'm not knocking the guys that are coaching now. And don't get me wrong. I know I think it should be all women. I think it should be totally women.
Yeah, I, 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 I don't understand Hockey Canada. I mean, they talk the talk, but they certainly don't walk the walk on that. I mean, like you said, they had Kevin Dineen, and you cut Kevin Dineen a slack because he played in the National Hockey League. He played in the highest level of hockey, and he could relate to the women. Okay, you know, I played in Stanley Cup finals, and I played in games. But guys who just played college, and all of a sudden they're behind the bench, you're saying, well, there's an awful lot of women who just played college hockey. And I agree with you. I when I watch it, I don't feel like it's totally women's hockey. You look at the you look at the WNBA. It's women coaches.
You're gonna have to put up with the refereeing.
I would like to know the dynamics of the dressing room. Like, I just can't imagine, like, the coach, coach, yelling.
You better not.
Or saying, you know, or even chastising them, saying, you know, I told you to put it around the boards. I told you to, you know. I the way the world is now, and how do you yell at them and all this? Yeah. But I think a woman could really chastise another woman.
You know what I think of when I think of women's hockey? I think of, I was on with, who was it, Terry Leibel, I think I was on with Hockey Night in Canada.
And I think that was
the... And I'm looking out on the ice, and I knew that, the rumor has it, and I don't believe it, but the rumor has it that the United States team had stepped on Canadian flag, and Haley Wickenheiser's coming off. And I can see her coming. And to get to ours, you had to walk in front of three. She didn't care. She got on. I said, now, when she comes over, and Terry couldn't see her, I said, just give her the mic. And boy, did she ever lambaste the celebrations after. Blair Turnbull, a good hockey player, she hurt her leg. I hope she's back.
They said she broke her leg.
And the celebration after.
Have you ever, I'm sure the way they jump around, I mean, have you ever really been that happy? You've won a few important games in Calder Cups.
I don't remember ever jumping around. Funny thing is, I don't remember jumping around.
Jumping around and all this.
No.
But
I remember other guys jumping around.
Yeah.
I didn't see what happened to her. Like, I don't know if she jumped over I don't know if she jumped over the boards and just hit her leg wrong or... What? But let's hope she's. I hope she's back for the Olympics.
But it's sort of embarrassing. I mean, you know, she's totally embarrassed. Well, and so she should be. But the thing is, it's not the first time it's happened, right?
No, I remember the one I remember the most is that beautiful shot of Yzerman scoring, coming in off the right hand side. And he puts it in the top corner, and it was beautiful. Cut the top corner, and he's jumping around, and then all the players come off Detroit. Come off the ice and jumped on him and hurt his
hurt his knee.
Yeah, he hurt his knee, and I just couldn't believe it. And then I remember one time, what was the guy's name for Edmonton?
Jason Arnott, but he was playing for Nashville.
Yeah, and he scored a goal. And what was it?
It was in the playoffs, and scored against Detroit with about a minute to go. They put it right by Hasek.
And I remember him going, you know, and everybody's happy, and he banged his head against the glass. He got a concussion. I mean, it's okay to celebrate, but don't go bananas. Yeah. And I can't remember.
And then there was one in your own dressing room, wasn't there?
Incident that was in Vancouver. I remember we'd won four straight, and we had a better team in Vancouver Canucks than they had when they went to National Hockey League.
Because this was the Western Hockey League.
Yeah.
Not the CHL, but the real Western.
And we won four straight. We never lost a game in the playoffs. But I remember now, I'm trying to think of Mark Reum was being interviewed outside the room, and the trainer had already told us to take our skates off because guys get hurt with the skates on, you know, some guys off. And I forget the guy's name that he stepped on. Anyhow, he stepped on, and Mark came in with his skates on, and he stepped on the guy's foot. And he cut the top of it.
But even with little kids hockey, I always remember going in, and I see half the kids with their skates on, and half of their kids walking around their stocking feet. And, you know, who am I to say anything? Everyone has their skates off, or they have it on, right? And people should...
Well, we were pretty good. We all had our skates off, and Mark came in, and, you know, and the trainer was pretty good. And... boy, did he ever cut him! Boy, you know, and you know what? We didn't care. We'd won the championship.
Yeah. Well, just want to congratulate the women. And I guess when one thing, too, we have to mention is Marie-Philippe Poulin, who, again, got the winner. She got the winner. Remember the game where they scored in overtime to win the gold medal?
Goal. What a goal.
And then she snapped a top corner. Mayo, like, did you see it? They went in, yeah. And then they turned around.
They just kept right on going.
They kept going. I said, what happened if U.S. came down and scored?
Oh, I knew that. I didn't. I thought it scored. And boy, what a shot went. I mean, ping, ping, ping.
Yeah, she snapped the top corner. But the one question I have to ask, and then we'll go on to some other stuff, is I can't believe how Haley Wickenheiser is isn't part of anything now. Like I thought the TSN crew, you know, did well, like the women.
Yeah, I did okay.
But like she's not part of Hockey Canada. She's not part of the team. She's not part of the broadcast. Like I know she left. She's a doctor now. Hey, eh? She got her doctor's degree and she's doing some stuff.
Maybe
with
she doesn't want to.
Maybe she doesn't want to. But you find it strange that the greatest, the Wayne Gretzky of women's hockey,
she was the best.
Has nothing to do with it now. And I just wonder why that is. That's kind of
strange.
You
mean the Bobby Orr? Yeah. No, you know it's strange. She's with the Leafs now. She's
But I just find it strange that they don't.
You'd think they'd have the absolute best. They'd have the best there. I just don't understand that one. But she was the best. She was the best. She could play with men. She really was. She was big and strong and just as good. Tim, talking about the Olympics, the Winter Olympics, the NHL is going to go 2022. That sounds like something out of Buck Rogers.
But it's only like 4 or 5 months away.
Yeah. No, you know, I like the National Hockey League, too, that they have a rule in it, too. If you're not vaccinated, you know, if you're not vaccinated and you lose, like, you know, you don't get paid, which is, I don't understand. I mean, why? I guess people are rebellious. Some people don't like to be told, don't get vaccinated. I don't understand it. Anyhow, they got pretty good coaches. They got John Cooper with Tampa, and Barry Trotz, and Peter DeBoer, and Bruce Cassidy. Actually, Bruce Cassidy.
So they'll be the coaches for Team Canada?
They'll be the coaches for Team Canada. So
who has the final word for picking the team? Okay, they have all these coaches, all these people.
Armstrong's the GM for the guy from St. Louis.
Well, no, I think the coaches.
So, Dad, I think the big question, every Olympics is who's going to be the goalie.
I have no idea. I want it to be Price, because when he rises to the occasions and he wants the goal, there's nobody better. And then there's Fleury, which is pretty good. But I don't know. I can't tell you right now. There's so many good goalies.
You have to admire the owners for letting the players go. Like, what if they get hurt over there during the Olympics? Like, you know what I mean?
If we are like we were the year before, there'd be no contest.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know. Like, it's everybody's excited about it until Marner or Matthews gets hurt, and then all the Leaf fans are going to be saying,
I'd have Marner.
Why are we going?
I know a lot of people wouldn't have Marner because of his playoffs, but I'd have him. I put him on the wing with Crosby. Whoa. Or McDavid. Well, I tell you one thing, Tim, and I don't know who we're going to pick, but I'll tell you one thing, we're going to be pretty good.
So, Dad, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Spreads.ca. I was always going to say .com, but it's Spreads.ca. It's a Canadian-owned casino, online casino and sportsbook. And sign up now and use the promo Grapes, and they'll match your deposit up to $200. You get some spins on the big wheel for some big bucks, and they'll spot you $25 for your first sports bet. But they have a new – well, they're really pumping up. I know the CFL is going now, and baseball is going.
I don't know how anybody else can bet anybody else.
So they're having a new promo. It's called a Sure Bet, Cindy. It means you can't miss.
So it's idiot-proof for like pretty people much. Like me.
So you go on their sports book, and you go to the NFL site, and then you look at the Super Bet, I believe it's called, and you can bet up to $25, or I think actually it's $10 on, will Aaron Rodgers throw one pass in his first game, one or more yards in his
automatic.
So it's automatic. So they're doing that. So Dad, I think the big news in hockey beside the women was the Kotkaniemi signing or offer.
Revenge, you mean?
Revenge. Yeah. Well, and so what's your whole thing with a 5-goal scorer from Montreal, ended up making $6.1 million.
In 56 games, he got 5 goals. I wrote this down. Jasper Kotkaniemi, with the he is now with the Carolina Hurricanes. He's making $6.1 million. Don't forget the $1 million. I know that.
No, it's not 6.1. I think it's $6 million, and then they gave him a $20 signing bonus.
Well, yeah. What's a million?
What's a million, right? What's 100 grand, right?
But Montreal receives first and third, and they drafted him third, so they. But this is revenge. This is revenge. Remember Aho and Sebastian Aho. He's a pretty good hockey player.
Yeah, he was their best player.
Yeah,
at the time,
and he got goals last year too. Yeah. He did really well. And Montreal drafted.
Well, they gave him an offer sheet.
Give me an offer sheet. Now you're not supposed to do this. It's an old. It's a thing in the National Hockey League that nobody.
So maybe we should say what an offer sheet is. So an offer sheet is when a player isn't a free agent, and but his contract's up. So what happened with Kotkaniemi is his contract was up. He was in negotiations with Montreal, but he couldn't go anywhere else. Like, he could just go to Montreal.
He's restricted.
So, but there is a thing that a team can come in, like the Hurricanes could come in and give him an offer sheet. And then Montreal saying, well, we'll sign you for $6 million for 1 year. And then Montreal has 1 week to match it, and if they don't, they get a first pick and then a third pick in the thing. And what happened was, years ago, Montreal, Bergevin, did that to Sebastian Aho, gave him $42 million.
Ooh.
And
who could match that?
So the Canes matched it. They didn't want to.
Were they mad?
Oh, they
and
match
were
it.
They yeah,
because
mad?
Oh, they were mad because it's a unwritten rule that you don't do that. And Bergeron knew he was a good hockey player. He took a shot, and they matched it. So, Tim, they matched. I mean, you know, the guy gets 5 goals. I'll give you his. But say what they said.
Yeah, so he got 5 goals. So it's funny. People say, well, it's not revenge. This is professional hockey, right? You know? So
it's
here
revenge.
Here was when they did the offer sheet to when Marc Bergevin gave the offer sheet to Sebastian Aho, this was his press release. Sebastian Aho accepted our offer. He wants to come to Montreal. He sees our youngsters coming up in the organization, and he wants to be part of that. We're proud, but there'll still be a waiting period. So this is what Carolina put out after they did the same thing
this
to Montreal.
Same.
So Jasper Kotkaniemi accepted our offer. He wants to come to Carolina. He sees the core we have built and wants to be part of that. We're proud, but there's still a waiting period. So it's exactly the same press release. And so the rumor was that that the owner of the Carolina was waiting in the weeds for this.
Montreal wouldn't match it, right?
You're saying? Guy got 5 goals.
Well,
he did pretty good in the playoffs. He got five.
The one thing I wanted to ask.
Nice to have that kind of money, that you can.
Can you imagine his agent phoning him and say, "You won't believe this. Listen to this. How would you like to make $6 million?
What do they say about
year?
Revenge is sweet?
Yeah. You know the one thing though, Dad. Like I gotta say. Kotkaniemi didn't dress the first game in the playoffs.
No, he didn't.
So he comes back, and then he scores. I think did he get the winner assisted? I think he got the
winner.
Got the winner. And then the next couple games back in Montreal or back in Toronto, he scored, and he ended up having 3 goals. And he looked up into the stands.
That was in Toronto.
He looked up into the stands, and there was nobody there, right? There's nobody in the stands. And he went like three. So who was he? Was he doing that to Bergeron?
No, I don't think he'd have the nerve enough to do that to Bergeron. You know, fool around with him. I'd say he was doing that too as one of his guys he wasn't playing with. Because what happens is when guys don't play, that's why I never wanted players around that weren't playing. They band together like I should be playing. And I would say that when he held up his third goal, he was looking at one of his teammates that were sitting up in the stands.
Yeah. Well, I remember one time when you were coaching Boston, it was in the semifinals against Montreal, and you kind of waved at Harry after.
Oh, that was well, what happened there was, well, I guess Harry doesn't get, I don't know whether I should say this, But John Rattel never played good against Montreal. Don't ask me why. I mean, he should have been playing good against Montreal because Montreal. And Harry reminded me of it, and I told Schmatzy, and he sent a letter,
let's get into it. Okay. I mean, Harry's not going to get mad. He sent you a letter or a note saying
Imagine not even talking.
The coach and the GM are just passing notes to each other because you're not.
Well, talking. I never passed notes, but he did. He passed that note.
He said, "Don't dress for tell."
Yeah, don't dress for tell.
Is this in Montreal or is this in?
No, it's
Boston.
In Boston.
Game six.
No, oh. Harry was well. Anyhow, yeah. And I showed the letter to Schmatzy. Schmatzy took the letter, showed it to Rattel, and he got a hat trick that night.
Nothing like motivation.
Well, I didn't care. Just win. That's the name of the game. And I'm sure Harry...
Well, then when Rattel got the hat trick, what did you do?
Well, Bobby Schmatz, who I seem to get in trouble with all the time...
Who egged you
one
on.
One way or another, said, why don't you wave to Harry? So I waved to Harry, and they had it on television.
On TV. They showed that clip
to Harry,
all the time.
And Harry knew
I remember watching it saying, who's Dad waving to? Was it Mom? Because Mom sat on the other side.
That's right. Like, who's up there that Dad would
know? The only thing I ever cared about when I was coach, I guess I would have liked myself, is to win. Cindy, you were going to talk about... Are you set to talk about the?
Oh yeah!
All right,
you know me. I'm always
you're ready.
I'm always ready.
Kathy Broderick says you don't talk enough, and she's
yeah, because I promote stuff and all this, and of course. I'm promoting Don Cherry's Pet Rescue Foundation, and you know we have that Coach's Closet all the time, biannually and everything to raise funds, and this year I just thought let's kick it off November the 11th.
That's when I got fired.
That's right. Also known
I didn't know that. Until you told me.
I know. Also known as Remembrance Day, other than the day that you got
fired.
Yeah,
that was the big thing.
So, can you believe Dad's been it'll be 2 years since.
Is that right?
2 years. That's just so hard to believe. Anyway, we're going to change it up a bit. Of course, we're going to have your jackets up for auction.
And
a bunch
they're going to be good ones.
Great other stuff that Bobby gave us and all. But then I put it out to about 50 collectors right across Canada. And
did you really?
I did. And that they could donate a big item worth $250 or more. And they would get a page on our auction.
And don't forget, this helps the dogs and cats and all the animals.
That's right. And so out of that morning, I sent it out in the morning, and by noon, I received two responses from Charles Warburton of CW Sports Memorabilia from Brantford that he's in.
Yeah, yeah.
And then from Wayne Frazier of Doug Laurie Sports from Barrie.
Oh, yeah, Doug Laurie. I mean, yeah, he was a very famous guy. Well, that's great, Cindy. And so you're going to give my jackets away. And
Yep. And I just wanted to say, you know, they're really on top of things to respond to my email in 2 hours. You know, it was just amazing. Yeah. So shout out to them for thanks. So anyway, it's going to launch November the 11th and hope everyone checks it out.
Well, I hope you make a lot of money. And
Yeah,
you made a lot of money the last time.
We do pretty good, 20 plus or something, 20 grand or so. So we do very well. Bobby's always generous. And
Bobby Orr is always
always there for us. So,
I bet, he's the only guy I asked for any money. I wouldn't, or any, you know.
Any donations. Well, this is why, though, I went to the sports memorabilia people because they're going to get a great page on the auction thing about their location.
And you're helping our feathered friends and our animals.
We
and
give money away to everyone. Sanctuaries, parrots,
donkeys. Another thing I couldn't
get
over is that you say that in Ontario, there's like a primate thing like you gave to I just couldn't get over that there's a primate sanctuary.
Primate sanctuary.
What's a primate?
Monkeys,
but they're apes, and they take a lot of animals from laboratories that they're still experimenting on apes and chimps.
Well, you do good work.
Yeah.
And someday I'm going to put my car up for sale, my 1983 Mark VI, because I only drive it to church. And
was that the one that was Ballard's?
No, that's
not valid. Remember, you had one, and
I give that away.
You looked into it.
It was falling apart. But this one is prime. This one is...
Well, when you wanted to part with it, and it's
someday
there.
I'm willing
someday,
to do that.
You know.
But I remember getting that, and she said that's Harold Ballard's car. And you know, I remember Harold Ballard's car. It was blue, and I know it was his because it had a blue top, vinyl top, and you had to order that special.
I've seen it when I was grooming in the Groommobile way back then, and I actually drove the Groommobile into the Toronto Maple Leaf Gardens, and I saw that car
there.
Well,
you were doing.
I was grooming Puck, the Bouvier. Oh, yeah, remember, he had a beautiful blonde Bouvier de Flanders, yeah. And it was the mascot of the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
And I never could figure that out. Remember that, Tim? Remember the time when we come in with Boston and...
Oh, that was priceless, Dad. Tell that story. That was unbelievable.
Well, no, let me get it right now. I remember Frosty Forrestal was our equipment manager.
Yeah.
Came, he says, don't you find it strange... That I didn't find it. I was in Boston when I... Yeah. Don't you find it strange that Harold Ballard, who owns the Leafs, really pushes the Hamilton Tiger
Cats. Well, he had actual Tiger Cats painted on the ice.
And he had it on the back of the car, like that car.
Yeah, but you went to watch a Leaf game, and he had Tiger Cat logo, or was it?
Did he?
I didn't know on the ice.
As opposed to the Argonauts.
Right, because I remember the players skating around, and they all looking...
They're going,
why do they have a tiger on the ice? Like they did, because, and then, you know, like we were in Boston, so we weren't up on the CFL. And then somebody says, well, he owns a Tiger Cat. So that's a Tiger Cat logo.
Did he own them?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
He owned them. And then, so that was when Frosty said, well, this is Argo territory. And then we went down.
And he was from Boston.
Frosty, he knew more about the CFL than any of us. Yeah. He was from Boston.
And that's great. That's great football.
And then, so then he went down to, we went to a sporting goods store around the corner, and we got two Argo banners. And during the national anthem, we put the Argo banners in front of the Bruins bench.
The banner.
And everybody started to cheer.
Cheer.
And then they started chanting, Argos, Argos.
So this would have been a televised Hockey Night in Canada on TV.
And I thought he'd go along with the joke. He was really mad. Remember?
He said it wasn't funny. I think he complained to the league.
Yeah, and he went to Hockey Night in Canada. Well, what are they going to do?
It's on TV.
I didn't care back in those days.
Anyway, it was a beautiful dog. It was a mascot of the Thai Cats. And I saw the car. He always used to park it in the garden.
Well, someday I'm going to put up my beautiful, and it's pristine, and I only drive it to church, and it doesn't make much sense. I don't drive it like long drives anymore because I don't take long drives anymore. Anyhow, I'm going to put that up, and I hope you make a lot of money for our friends.
Okay, just before we wrap it up, I know... Like, I watch a lot of golf, and my wife, Ling, watches a lot of golf. And today, you know what the purse is for today? This is Sunday. $15 million for the first place.
Where is this?
In golf. It's the championship. So if you win, it's 15. So, but there's been, you know, golf's kind of a gentleman's game, right?
It is.
And there has been a feud between Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau. And they don't like each other, but... You know, they do it golf fly. They roll each other's eyes and they don't. And then DeChambeau lost in a playoff last week, and somebody yelled, "Way to go, Brooksy!" Kind of teasing.
Well, there was the jerks. You hear those guys on in the hole. They want to hear their voice. And somehow or other, I feel that golf is a gentleman's game.
One of the last gentlemen's games.
And you know what? They're going to throw those guys out, and they should throw them out. And they won't mind being thrown out. They'll probably get their names in the paper, but I think tennis is a gentleman's game, and I don't think there's anything. I really, really, really believe there shouldn't be anybody hollering stuff like that at Bryson DeChambeau or anybody because it's a gentleman's game.
Chuck, can I tell you a quick story? I worked on the Canadian Golf Tour. I was doing a show. This is how gentleman's golf game it was, and golf's the only sport, if you do something wrong, you got to call a penalty on yourself, right? Like, you got to say, I did this, and then you get a stroke.
And I don't golf, by the way.
Yeah. So I was following the Canadian Tour, and this was in the 80s, and one of the guys on the tour cheated. He moved the ball. And
he really did?
He did. And two other guys, called him out on it, and he denied it. And the other two golfers were saying, well, why would we lie? And they said, so there was this big kerfuffle. And so when everything was said and done, the guy, you know, the guy, they said, well, we didn't see it. He didn't call a penalty on himself, so we're not going to, you know, give him a penalty or whatever. So the next tournament, I think I was in Ponoka, Alberta doing it, and the matriarch, the oldest guy of the on the tour, came up to me and he said, see that guy over there? He goes, yeah. He goes, he cheated. He goes, you don't do that in golf. And he says, if you talk to him or you interview him, the rest of us are not going to talk to you ever this for the rest of the tournament. And you'll never get another interview from us. That's how mad they were at this guy for cheating. Like, well, it was just like...
They self-regulate.
And yeah. Boy, if you don't, they just hold you... The other players just hold you in utter contempt. And they ostracize this guy.
Well, it's a gentleman's game. And I think tennis is a gentleman's game. And... And I don't think there's any place guys yelling at when they're trying to putt.